You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the European Tour Race to Dubai show, as the Omega European Masters is won by an American in the shape of David Lipsky.
Yeah, it feels great. I've been playing well the last couple of weeks, so to put it all together here, it's something special.
We'll be talking exclusively to Lipsky shortly about his victory, which came in a playoff against England's Graham Storm, whose eventful tournaments included a third round hole-in-one.
What a rollercoaster it's been. To shoot four scores in the 60s round this golf course, you know, it's a first for me. You know, it's just been an unbelievable week.
England's Tyrell Hatton and the American Brooks Koepka tied for third on 17 under, one shot back.
Played solid for about 14-15 holes. Yeah, just hit a bad shot in 17, so it is what it is.
Yeah, just one short, unfortunately. Played great today, and to have a bogey-free Sunday is very pleasing.
So all the news from Switzerland and the wider golfing world coming up, plus we look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the KLM Open at Kennemer in the Netherlands. First of all, it's a very good day to Robert Lee. Rob, how are you?
Good day to you. Not bad at all, not bad. Just jetted in from Geneva last night, so yeah, all good.
Fantastic tournament. Great course as well, isn't it, at Cron?
I tell you what, it's a spectacular setting. I mean, every time I go up there, first time I went up there was 1983, and I couldn't believe it then. I can't believe it now in 2014. It's extraordinary. When the sun comes out and the air's clear, my goodness me, you can see for miles down that Rhone Valley. Beautiful place to play golf. Very special place because the golf course, basically, like St Andrews, finishes in the town. The 18th green is 50 yards from the main street in Croncessière. It is an incredible place to play. Great week for David Lipsky. Great crowds again. Really, really top event.
And another new winner on the European Tour, the ninth in 2014. There is strength in depth this side of the Atlantic, isn't there, Rob?
Well, David's a special case because he's been plying his trade mainly on the Asian Tour. He had half a dozen, maybe, outings on the European Tour. And the last month, he played very well indeed. He was really consistent and getting himself in there or thereabouts, sort of last round in Denmark and Czech Republic. He'd been playing well. So I think he came to this week not knowing that he was going to win, but that perhaps there was a really big performance coming his way. And it did. Now, of course, he's won. He's got the winner's category. He's got exemptions for the next 2 years. He's probably going to make enough money to get inside the top 60 and play the final series. So it's all gravy for him, really.
He was trailing Graham Storm going into the final round. Three shots behind the Englishman, so he did well to overhaul Graham Storm, but Graham Storm had a terrific week himself, didn't he?
Well, Graham Storm, one of many players that were up there that have the other agenda, and that is, I've had such a bad year, I really can't afford to slip up very much. If I don't win, in Graham's case, it was finished second, and that would take care of business money-wise for his card for next year. So he did that, and of course, Graham had that unbelievable hole-in-one on the Saturday where he won that really swish i8 BMW. Fantastic moment for him. He was able to keep his momentum and his composure after he holed in one, finished off nicely, and then go out there yesterday and nearly win. But in essence, the win, that's disappointing. But for him, the fact he's taking care of business, must be really pleased.
There were some low scores out there over the course of the week, but there were some holes that tripped up a number of the top players. Jamie Donaldson got to the front on Saturday, then was throwing in triples and doubles all over the place. Curious week from that point of view, I thought.
Well, there's a couple of tricky holes that are not long. They're just, if you miss in the wrong place, you can get in all sorts of trouble with it, with the shape of the greens. And that's what happened to Jamie at 12. He just couldn't play the 12th. He birdied it yesterday, mind, so he got a little bit back. But yeah, he played the 12th very badly. It's funny. It's not a long golf course, not for these fellas and with the thin air and everything else. But you've got to give it a little bit of respect. You can't just blunderbuss your way around. Everyone makes their score on the front nine. That's where all the short par fours are. You know, there are holes that you have to play well on the back nine.
David Lipsky, of course, was the winner. You mentioned a little about David just a few moments ago, but he's come to the European Tour off the back of a couple of Asian Tour wins. He was a very good amateur in America. And we're seeing this a lot, aren't we now? Young Americans coming over and trying their hand on the European Tour.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. You can come here and go to the school. If you don't get to the school, you can join the Challenge Tour and play that, and then work your way up like Brooks Koepka did, like Peter Uihlein did. He played Challenge Tour, won in Madeira, change a category, change a tour. So, you know, there is a way on the European Tour to get ahead if you're a really good player. And David Lipsky's done it yet another way because he got a few invitations being an Asian Tour player and took full advantage. It was co-sanctioned with the Asian Tour in Switzerland, and And, you know, to come in there and take your chance like he did, he just must be thrilled.
Well, I'm delighted to say that David Lipsky joins us on the Race to Dubai show. David, welcome and congratulations on your win.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's a really good feeling and, you know, happy to be part of the European Tour now.
The way it came to a head at the end, it was an amazing final hole. Your second shot, the 72nd hole, was absolutely stiff. Did you know then that you had the lead once you finished that hole?
I mean, I didn't have the lead at the time, but I knew I had to birdie it to give myself a chance. I was one back at the time, and I knew that with that hole, you had to birdie it to give yourself a chance. So I took dead aim and hit a great shot.
You certainly did. The shot then in the playoff that amazed all of us that were there was the chip out from the sand.
Yeah, I mean, it was a half wedge shot from the sand over water, which isn't the easiest shot to hit. I was thinking about hitting it towards the green, but it would just come out too low if I were to do it, and I was afraid it would just skip over anyways. So I was thinking there was no point taking that risk and putting the water in play, so I just pitched out. Hit it a little too hard when I pitched out, but you know, I was confident enough in my chipping to, you know, get up and down.
David, you had four top 25s going into Switzerland. Did you feel that perhaps a win was just around the corner?
Maybe not a win, but I knew I had a really good week coming. I felt my game getting better each and every week, learning from it, building off the previous week. And, you know, I was just excited that, you know, I was able to do it at a place that I was pretty familiar with.
Have you had time, David? I know it's very short notice because you've won and you've got the euphoria of the win straight away, but have you had time to just think about what you're going to do in the next coming weeks and, you know, what the win means for you?
The win means so much to me. I mean, it, you know, validates all the hard work I've put into my game. But at the same time, I was just looking at my schedule. Looks like it's going to be pretty busy, a lot busier than I thought it would be. And I'm going to be traveling all over the world. But I'm going to be playing a lot of big tournaments, so I can't complain about that.
Some of our listeners, David, might not be too familiar with you and your game. How would you describe yourself in the way that you play?
I'm very confident with my short game, with my putting around the green. I was a little sloppy in the round yesterday, but in general, I'm very confident with the putting and the short game. And if I can get the ball and play off the tee, every week I feel like I have a chance to compete. Maybe not win, but, you know, at least post some good scores.
Does this win, because it was co-sanctioned, put you at the head of the Asian Tour Order of Merit?
Yeah, yes. I checked last night. I think I'm ahead by $360,000 right now. So I have quite a substantial lead. But, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to do at the beginning of the year and felt like I could do that is, you know, compete and have a chance to win the Order of Merit out in Asia.
Where do you see your future, David?
Ideally, I'd love to play in the U.S., you know, being an American, but I'm enjoying my time in Europe and in Asia, and I'm exempt on the European Tour the next couple of years, so try to take that opportunity to play as much as I can.
You've seen, you know, the Koepka model. You've seen what Brooks has managed to do, you know, play here and then, you know, get a more all-round game and then go to America and get on tour. So, I mean, that's got to be something you can look at as well.
Yeah, it was funny you mentioned that. Brooks just walked in and said, good work. What he's done and what Peter's done has been pretty awesome.
How about the Ryder Cup? How about the feel, the vibe in America about their chances when they go to Glen Eagles?
Well, I mean, with a lot of our guys injured and out, it's going to be a tough one for us to win, especially if the weather's bad. I think it sort of favors the Europeans, but you never know what happens.
You've played alongside some of our team. Do you think the Europeans are in a confident mood heading to Glen Eagles?
I mean, I saw Thomas play really well in Denmark. I played with Jamie yesterday, and his game looks really solid. So I think, you know, the Europeans are in a really good spot. And I was just looking at the leaderboard and the PGA events, and it looks like a lot of those guys are playing well.
David, the next event you play on the European Tour, you'll be playing as a champion on the European Tour. Which event will that be?
I'm actually in Geneva Airport right now, about to hop on a flight to KLM Open. So I'm looking forward to going there.
David, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai podcast. We wish you well for the remainder of the year and beyond. Thanks very much and congratulations once again.
All right, thank you, yes.
Well, it was his first victory in his 18th European Tour event. His previous best finish was tied second at the 2014 Championship at Laguna National. He moves to €428,498 in the Race to Dubai and from 396th to just inside the top 150 in the world rankings. He's the first affiliate member to win on the European Tour since Tom Lewis at the 2011 Portugal Masters, and he's the first American to win the European Masters since Craig Stadler back in 1985. It was the 196th American victory in European Tour history, and he's the 84th different US winner. Let's talk about one or two of the others on the leaderboard in Switzerland, Rob. Graham Storm, who needed to get inside the 110 to try and keep his card, of course, for the next season, and he did that with that stunning second finish.
Well, he did. I mean, he lost in the playoff. That's heartbreaking itself, but it was a real Brucey bonus week for Graham, who'd had a wretched season, a really torrid season.
Yeah, It was a rewarding week for Graham Storm, but he felt he could have done better in the playoff.
To be honest, I didn't have a lot of time after signing my card and then going straight back out there, and probably didn't give myself enough time on the tee to get composed. But, you know, it's been an unbelievable week. What a roller coaster it's been, you know, and I've held together and played nice, and, you know, there's a lot of emotions flying around right now. Obviously, it's disappointing to lose, but I've secured my card for next year, and that was the goal from the last few weeks, and, you know, I've been so far behind. So to manage to do that, you know, is great. Unfortunately, I didn't know what David had done. I didn't know he'd buried the last, so that was the reason why I played the wedge shot out to the middle of the green. Otherwise, I would have probably gone for the flag and tried to make birdie to win it outright. But, you know, I got a second chance in the playoff and it didn't happen for me. To shoot four scores in the 60s around this golf course, you know, it's a first for me. I've conquered the back nine finally. I never shot over par on the back nine. You know, it's just been an unbelievable week.
A couple of points to pick up on, suggesting that he wasn't mentally prepared for the playoff. How difficult, Rob, is it to refocus? You've just finished on the 18th. You've got to play the playoff. You've just made that putt to get in it. How difficult is it to refocus?
Well, you generally don't get to play many playoffs in your career. And I'm not sure if Graham's played a playoff before. I'm not sure if he has. So when he finished, because he was the last group, it was almost right, get your card done, woof, you're back on the 18th tee. It happened very fast. David Lipsky had a little bit of time to see what was happening and watch what was unfolding. So he perhaps could be a little more prepared, but both men missed the fairway. Graham wiped it right down behind that wall where Seve's plaque was and had to chip it out sideways, and David Lipsky hit it in the fairway bunker on the right-hand side. It looked like both men were going to make five because Graham knocked it on not especially close, and David Lipsky chipped it out the bunker short left in the rough, but then played a wonderful pitch to about a foot, and that was that.
It was a first playoff for Graham Storm, incidentally. Just going back to the final hole in regulation, are you surprised that Graham Storm didn't know about the Lipsky birdie on 18?
We heard the roar when the second shot of Lipsky went into 18 because it finished like an inch from the hole, and the crowd went nuts. But you could be in your own little bubble 400-500 yards away and not really be paying attention to collateral noise. There was a leaderboard at 17 and it hadn't changed. Lipsky's score hadn't gone up, and then you don't see a leaderboard until you get on the green at 18. So I think Graham thought, knock it on the green and two putt for the win, but obviously he needed to be a little bit better informed.
Also on the hole-in-one prize from Graham Storm, this is a quote that came out of the week, said, I had the hole-in-one earlier in the season in Morocco and won a lamp. So I think that this prize, talking about the car, just about tops that one.
Well, he thought he had won the lamp in Morocco, and then when he holed out and he turned around, he thought it was a Lamborghini. But actually, it was a BMW i8.
What's the strangest thing that you've won for a hole-in-one?
I've never had a hole-in-one. I've pitched in the flag, I smashed the hole, I've done all sorts of things, finished an inch behind the hole. I hit the flag at the 10th at Wentworth in a pro-am about 4 months ago, and the ball finished on the front lip and still didn't go in. So maybe there's not a hole-in-one coming my way.
Well, there's one coming, I'm sure. David Lipsky, of course, was the winner. Another American, Brooks Koepka, finished one shot back, tied for third place. He was right in contention until a bogey at the penultimate hole.
Played solid for about 14, 15 holes. Yeah, just hit a bad shot in 17. I felt like we had bad numbers all day. You know, we got caught in that same number on about 127 on 17. We were worried about the gap wedge just spinning back and coming too far short, and, you know, just kind of came up out of it. So it is what it is. You know, playing well. Just got to take something from it and hopefully play well next week.
Continues to have a good season, doesn't he, Brooks?
Good player, Brooks Koepka. No real weaknesses. I don't see it. I see a guy with a complete game. And when you're as powerful as he is in his early 20s, he's got a great career ahead of him, I think, Brooks Koepka. I think he's got his card in the PGA Tour now as well, so he's probably going to play more there next year. That's a natural if you're an American. That's understandable.
Koepka tied for third on 17 under with Tyrell Hatton. The Englishman didn't drop a shot in a final round of 65, but it wasn't quite enough to earn him a playoff spot.
Yeah, just one short, unfortunately. Played great today, and to have a bogey free Sunday is very pleasing. Come close today, so, or this week, so plenty of positives, and hopefully can go and have a good week next week. Really enjoyed my first time here. 4 great days. I'm looking forward to coming back next year.
He's played very well, Tyrell Hatton. He'll take a lot from that he was up there and was able to produce, you know, a string of really good scores on the golf course, in his own words, that he's seen for the first time. So, yeah, it's a great effort from him.
Well, Tommy Fleetwood and Danny Willett tied for fifth on 16 under, with Willett shooting 64 and 63 in his weekend rounds for a 13 under par total over the course of the Saturday and Sunday. And European Ryder Cup player Jamie Donaldson finished a further shot back on 15 under.
I had my chances. Started great, birdied the first two holes. But yeah, I had a couple of bogeys on 4 and 5, which slow momentum, and then got it back. You know, a few good birdies in the back nine. Played nice, but just wasn't quite good enough in the end. You know, I think the damage was done yesterday on 12 and 14. It was possible today easily, you know, but I had to play really well. So I played nice, but not quite well enough. You know, I wasn't far off again this week. So, yeah, happy with the form and continuing the good form for the Ryder Cup.
Speaking of the Ryder Cup, we'll talk about that in just a second, Rob. But Jamie Donaldson, over the course of the last few weeks, has been brilliant, hasn't he?
He has. He's had a bad week and he's finished seventh. That's pretty much where he is right now. He's playing some really good golf and he's obviously very keen to keep that form going until he gets to the Ryder Cup. So I'm pretty sure he's not playing this week. I think he takes a week off in Holland, then he'll be in Wales, and then it'll be Ryder Cup. So, you know, it's creeping up. The battle at Glen Eagles, it's around the corner.
Victor Dubuisson tied 29th on 8 under. I expected a bit more from Thomas Bjorn, who was 40th, 6 under, simply because he's got such a good record there.
Yeah, he's won it twice up in the mountains, Thomas, but, you know, every day you teed up, the game can be different, and Thomas is fine. He made the cut, middle order. It's not a problem. All these players that have played well to get over the line and get the pick or get the secured spot in Paul McGinley's team, now they're all mad keen to keep their game in pristine condition for when they get to Glen Eagles, and most of them are doing it.
Selections last week, I went for Mikko Ilonen, who tied for 40th on 6 under. Middle rounds of 66 and 65 gave me hope, but unfortunately down the field, alongside Jamie Spencer's pick, who was Thomas Bjorn, started well with a 66, but 72, 68, 68 to complete. So not the best of selections from us, I think.
No, I think lacklustre, I would say your two picks, lacklustre.
C-minus?
D-plus.
Let's get the top 10, shall we, from Cron. Rob.
David Lipsky was the winner in the playoff from Graham Storm, who keeps his card with a great second place finish. Tyrrell Hatton's third, alongside Brooks Koepka, Tommy Fleetwood and Danny Willett tied for fifth. Jamie Donaldson's seventh, Richie Ramsey eighth. Gareth Mabin finished a top 10 spot alongside Lee Slattery and Roman Vettel. But Slattery and Mabin both move into the top 110 spots on the Race to Dubai, which is absolutely key. And a word for Nicholas Coulthard, his 13th place finish does the same thing for him.
What about the top 10? In the Race to Dubai, any change at all?
No, not after that week. It stays like this. It's McIlroy, Garcia, Donaldson, Bjorn, Stenson, Kaimer, Rose, Dubuisson, Gallagher, Oosthuizen.
World rankings next.
Yes, the world rankings are dominated by the world number one, which is Rory McIlroy, who will win the money list in America, and he will win the Order of Merit or the Race to Dubai as well. Be the second time he's completed that double. Tremendous effort. So McIlroy, world number one. Adam Scott, two. Henrik Stenson, three. Sergio, four. Justin Rose, five. Then it goes Day, Furyk, Kuchar, Watson, Mickelson.
Well, we featured the European captain's picks on last week's podcast and spoke to Paul McGinley, as well as hearing from Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter and Stephen Gallagher. But we've not yet had the chance to talk about Tom Watson's captain's picks. But first, let's hear from the man himself.
He has the bag of Ryder Cup clothes still in his room, unopened from 2012. Keegan Bradley.
I'm going to lean on a lot of the veterans to kind of guide me. And, you know, I think that I need to be respectful to the fans and to their team. We're going to be in their home turf. You know, but I'm not going to hide any emotion. I think the Ryder Cup is a time to let the emotion come out of you. We're so often trying to fight and hold it down. And I think the Ryder Cup is a great example of when you can just let it go. And sometimes that can make you play great golf.
One of the things that you look for in a Ryder Cup player is how do they play match play? The second player has a pretty darn good record in match play, Hunter Mahan.
There's a lot of great players who could have made this team. And he immediately said, you know, welcome to the Ryder Cup team. And just a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. I could finally breathe again normally and you know, go to sleep. And, you know, it feels amazing.
Webb Simpson's my next pick. He played in the Ryder Cup in 2012, did very well.
I saw that Captain Watson was calling me, and he asked me a question about what he thought I brought to the team, and we had a good conversation, and he told me I was a pick, and I was elated. You know, it was 5 in the morning my time here, but I got out of bed, and unfortunately I didn't have anybody to celebrate with, so I was by myself, and I was pretty pumped up about it.
So, Rob, what do you make of the trio of Ryder Cup picks from Tom Watson?
Those were the three I thought he would pick. I thought he would go for Simpson because he played Ryder Cup before. He's a US Open champion. He's just come into a bit of form. So I thought he was not going to pick a rookie. That's why I didn't think Chris Kirk would get a shout, even though he just won a FedEx Cup event. Mahan has Ryder Cup pedigree and he won the Barclays. And I think once he'd won the Barclays, he probably got the nod then from Watson. And I've been saying all along, Keegan Bradley was a shoo-in for a pick because he's a natural partner of Phil Mickelson. And they won 3 points out of 3 last time they played a Ryder Cup. Don't underestimate the US team. I think everybody's thinking, wow, world rankings, look at that. Europe at home, rain, horrible weather, Americans, no chance. I would say fear the Americans.
There is a huge suggestion that this is the best ever European Ryder Cup team.
Which fills me with dread. When I hear stuff like that, it fills me with dread because...
Would you not say it's true?
Well, we had a fantastically strong team when we went to Valhalla. We were on foreign turf and the favourites to win.
Did we have four of the top five in the world?
Probably no, I wouldn't say we did.
Have we ever had four of the top five in the world?
Do you know that as a stat or are you just throwing it across?
I'm just throwing it across to you.
Four of the top five, I'd say... Probably the first time we've ever done that, I would think. However, you know, chuck all that stuff out the window when you get to the Ryder Cup.
You said it was the obvious picks for Tom Watson. Were the trio that came from Paul McGinley as obvious?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, those were the three that I thought he should go with, and most people that I canvassed had that in mind. Unless Luke Donald had an extraordinary event in his last event, it was Gallagher's push for the line that was very impressive in Italy. He all but finished second. It was David Howell, I think, who shot 62 or 3 in that final day to get past Stevie Gallagher and mean that he couldn't finish second and make himself an automatic pick. So Gallagher's a pick for me because he's got a fantastic record around that course. He's top 10 it seven times around there and lost in the playoff last year to Tommy Fleetwood. And then, of course, you've got Westwood and Poulter, who are sort of Ryder Cup stalwarts. Again, when you look at who wasn't in the team that you'd want in the team, you'd have to pick Poulter and you'd have to pick Westwood.
And just one other Ryder Cup line. Seven nations have expressed an interest in bidding for the right to host the 2022 Ryder Cup. They are Austria, Denmark, Germany, Italy, Portugal, Spain and Turkey. Rob, any view where it might go for that particular renewal?
No, I've got absolutely no idea where it might go. You know, interesting new golfing territories like Turkey having a pop, and that's very welcome.
Just a few bits of news to share with you before we look ahead to next week's event. American Billy Horschel retained his overnight lead to win the BMW Championship at Cherry Hills in Denver by two shots. Sergio Garcia was five shots back in a tie for fourth, with Rory McIlroy a further shot adrift tied for eighth, despite four putting on the same green on both Saturday and Sunday. Horschel jumps to second in the FedEx Cup standings and is one of five men who can guarantee winning the FedEx Cup Series with a victory in this week's Tour Championship in Atlanta. McIlroy, Chris Kirk, Bubba Watson and Hunter Mahan are the others. Colin Montgomery won again on the European Seniors Tour. He started the final day two off the lead but shot a 7-under par 65 to win the Senior Russian Open Golf Championship in Moscow. It was Monty's fourth victory in five starts on this year's European Seniors Tour. And Benjamin Hébert of France won on the European Challenge Tour, claiming the Open Blue-Green Côte d'Amour Bretagne by three shots. Hébert's victory guarantees him a return to the European Tour next year. The European Tour is in the Netherlands this coming week for the KLM Open at Kennema. Rob, tell us about the course first of all, because we don't get to Kennema every single year, do we?
No, it's a beautiful old golf course. It's a links-style golf course with lots of mounding and it's a little bit up and down dale. It's not long. You don't have to be that powerful to do well around there, but it's a shotmaker's golf course. And the players that go there, like I said to David Lipsky, how much he was going to enjoy the course. They just love Kennema. It's a fantastic golf course.
Who's rocking up in the Netherlands this week?
Well, Darren Clark's playing, Harrington, Carlson, Manasseh, Casey, Kiros, Singh, David Lipsky's playing in one last week. Mark Warren won a few weeks ago in Denmark. Miguel Ankel Jimenez, Ross Fischer, David Howell, Joost Luiten, of course. Tommy Fleetwood played so well last week. Brett Rumford, I keep going. There's millions. Paul Laurie, Robert Rock, Chris Wood. Peter Uihlein's playing. Brooks Koepka is playing. Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño's across from America. Thomas Bjorn's playing. Cole Sarts is playing. Great field.
Well, one man hoping for a good week at Kennema is Dutchman Robert Jan Derksen, who's playing his national championship for a 20th time.
I think I played it three times as an amateur, and now this will be the 17th time as a pro. So, yeah, it's going to be special. I mean, also being my last KLM. So, yeah, there's all sorts of things, and you always want to do well on your own open, of course. Probably the best one to win if you can choose. On the other hand, it's also there's a lot of pressure. You want to do well. You want to show that you play good in your own country. Of course, that would be the ideal outcome, to win it in my last go. But hopefully and just have a good tournament and at least make the weekend and then go from there and who knows.
I think we've spoken previously this season about trying to win on your final season on tour. Yeah. You've two fourth place finishes so far, so you've come close but not quite close enough just yet.
No, that's true. I've been very close because both occasions actually I was just one shot out of the playoffs. I'm running out of tournaments. There's six or seven or eight left, but yeah, who knows. I mean, it would be great. It gives me a thrill if I can just on a Sunday afternoon just have a go at it, and of course you need a bit of luck, but it would be nice to be in that position to go the back nine on Sunday and see if I can win.
Mark Tompkins from European Tour Radio with the questions there. Robert Jan Derksen, Rob, has been out on tour an awfully long time. It would be terrific to see him win this week.
I guess it would. It'd be purely selfish reasons on his part because he's winding down his European Tour career. He's made enough money to be out here next year. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe if he wins the KLM Open, he'll go, do you know what? probably just rushing the retirement a bit, but I spoke to him earlier on the year. I said, you're playing some nice stuff and you're packing it in. He said, yep, if I win every tournament between now and the end of the year, I'm still packing in. So he's you know, he's determined.
84th on the race to Dubai. Is he a name we can scribble down for a tip this week? Rob, who are you going for?
Well, no, I'm not going to go for Robert Jan Derksen. Oddly enough, let's see, he's got €252,000 up already, plus what he makes this week at the KLM and the rest of the events. I'm going to go for Brooks Koepka, who really could have won last week and hit a poor wedge at the 71st hole.
And I will go for Simon Dyson, who's played well in Dutch Opens in the past.
I'm changing my mind.
OK, you can change your mind.
Yes, I've changed my mind. I'm going to go for Nicholas Kolsarts.
Do you think the course will suit Nicholas Kolsarts? He was on my shortlist before I realised that potentially at Kenneman it might not be his track.
I had a chat with him on the putting green last week and I think he's got a lot of confidence from what he did last week. And I've always felt for a few weeks he's one good round away from playing well. So that's why I'm going for Kolsarts.
OK, Kolsarts for you, Dyson for me. That's all for now. We'll be back next week to look back at the KLM Open and ahead to the ISPS Handa Wales Open. So until next time. From me, Dan Roebuck, and from Robert Lee,
we're all off to Holland.
It's goodbye. We'll see you next time.